You get what I'm
saying? Oh, yeah.
Am I being clear?
Oh, yeah. Excellent. Excellent point.
There's an erosion of culture.
Mm-hmm. And let me reference this. Also, what you mentioned earlier, when the forced integration came in, that process began in 1971. After
71 school year.
After you guys, the last class at Coleman.
Right.
Was this a process that was statewide, that was reflected in the whole, that happened in the whole state of Mississippi?
It's a national.
The southern, the
actually,
Alabama.
What happened was that the federal government took over receivership of many school districts in many southern states because they refused to integrate. You do remember that was at many levels. That was in elementary and secondary education, as well as higher education. You remember James Meredith at Ole Miss. You remember George Wallace standing in the
Alabama.
Door. Right. And so this was the tone of the southern part of the nation at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And what actually did happen in Greenville over the summer, you know, Coleman High School was considered a school of champions.
Mm-hmm.
And we had heritage that was very rich and over many, many decades.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was that persons came in and destroyed that legacy.
Yeah.
Took trophies out of cases and awards off walls and threw them in dumpsters and destroyed them to destroy our heritage and our legacy in order to force the legacy of Greenville High School, the European school, as the true history. But that's not the hit.
Yeah.
So many of the students coming along after that, we did salvage some things, but most was destroyed.
Lost, yeah.
Such that many of the students that came after that, and even to this point now, don't really know the true history.
And that was the
same thing for whether it was in Ruleville or Belzoni or Scott. You get what I'm saying? It was
in Alabama,
you know,
Georgia.
There was a very systematic approach to destroying positive history.
Good. That's excellent. Okay, now what I'm going to move on is let's also get some personal reflection, because the educational system in these big cities, Los Angeles, Detroit, Chicago, is in terrible shape. I mean, they probably in worse shape than the southern states and stuff like that. And when I say terrible shape, I'm being a little easy on them.
I'm familiar.
Yeah. Now, what I would like to know, because you as a single parent, you've been able to, your three children, to put them through college, to get an education, and not only to get an education, but to turn around and to contribute, you know, teaching, et cetera, and all of that, which is excellent, and you to be commended for that. What I would like to know, for so many parents out here, down south and all over the nation, who's getting ready to send their children to college, especially single heads of the household, what advice would you give them that would better equip them for their children to have a chance of succeeding in terms of getting an education? Some of the elements there.
Okay. First of all, it starts well before the college planning stage. The key is expectation. There was always an expectation for us growing up with mom and dad that we would go to school. Get our lesson, behave properly, and we did that. And in large part, most of us have beyond high school. Okay, so my children were raised with the same expectation, And in addition, that you will not only have one degree, you will have at least one graduate degree. Mm-hmm. The reason being, when we were coming through high school, you could do a lot more with a high school diploma than you could do now. Mm-hmm. when my children were coming along. So a bachelor's degree at that time was pretty much equivalent to the value of a high school diploma when we were coming through. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. So yep. The expectation was there. And the other thing, too, was a definite line between parent and child. Mm-hmm. We really have a problem in our communities. We pretty much adopted the principles that Dr. Spock put out. Mm-hmm. And that does not work for our children. Mm-hmm. It just does not work for our children. Because, you know, being friends with your child and running with your child and compromising with your child and, you know, that's a setup for failure for our children. Mm-hmm. Because the things that work for European children doesn't work for our children, because when your child goes into the room, there is already a negative mindset about our children. Mm-hmm. It's true. It is absolutely true. I have firsthand knowledge in knowing that you must do twice as well. You have to know twice as much. Mm-hmm. And the old saying is true in many instances. It is not what you know. It mm-hmm. is who you know. Mm-hmm. And we don't have those avenues for mm-hmm. us, because there is still that tendency that when one gets here, mm-hmm. up, that the tendency is to want to separate and remove ourselves from the ones who are still trying to come up. Mm-hmm. So we must let our children know that we are different, mm-hmm. and not less than, but different. And the expectations are different. Mm-hmm. And that you perform in a way that is comfortable and right for you. Mm-hmm. You abide by the rules because the rules have been set. Mm-hmm. And in order to achieve, you must meet that standard. Mm-hmm. But never let go of who you are. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, then you can not only achieve, but you can succeed. Mm-hmm. And that is something that has been lost. The success is not being allowed in the room or being accepted by the European counterpart. Mm-hmm. What I learned was that in many instances, the European counterpart could not understand mm-hmm. if you were not trying to achieve that. Mm-hmm. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so we really are quite messed up now. Mm-hmm. And it's the effect of integration. Mm-hmm. Let me qualify. If you have a pitcher, if you're making a pitcher of Kool-Aid, and you got a pitcher of water, a package of Kool-Aid, and a cup of sugar. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you move all of those around on the table, any way you want to go, wherever you want to go, work where you want, live where you want, go to school where you want, then you're desegregated. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not apart and separate. But if you pour the sugar over in the water and you pour the Kool-Aid over in the water and stir it up, then that's integrated. Mm-hmm. We cannot become that. Mm-hmm. Because if you walk in the room, the first thing they notice is your complexion, mm-hmm. your color. And you can't change that. Okay? Then the next thing they notice is whether you're male or female. Mm-hmm. You can't change that. Then they might wonder why you're there. Mm-hmm. But if they walk in the room, then they are just there. They might notice whether you're male or female, that inherent white supremacist right to be is built in. Mm-hmm. Our children have lost that through forced integration. Mm-hmm.
Great point.
We never march for integration. Mm-hmm. We march for desegregation. Mm-hmm. That's right. The trick.
Yeah, just That's a great
point. That's the trick.
Great point.
We got integration.
Yeah, a mixture. Right. A couple more little things. You mentioned some great points. Because we're just about getting ready to wind down.
Okay.
What do you think about the influence of the internet in terms of the future of education? The impact of that. Is that going to make an impact?
Harnessed in the right direction, I believe it to be a very powerful tool.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be used, I feel like a superhero now, it can be used for great, good, or evil.
Yeah.
Because that's the one thing about our children. I noticed this very early on with the internet. It's a pure language, and it's not open to interpretation. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. And our children grasp that right off.
Yeah.
You know, they master that. But if there's not the right supervision, and if the internet or even television is allowed to parent or raise your child,
mm-hmm.
then you're still going to get a negative outcome.
Mm-hmm.
But if the child is taught to manage it,
mm-hmm.
and not to give up socialization, a lot of what we're running into now is that our children are socialized to objects, mm-hmm. rather than to people. They really don't have good people skills because they're not taught people skills. They're taught how to manage technology.
Mm-hmm.
So when you make a phone call and you get a person on the other end of the phone and they don't know how to accommodate you in a customer service kind of situation,
mm-hmm.
it's because they simply don't have the skill.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have people skills.
Beautiful. Right? Beautiful. Okay, now finally, excellent point. Glad to get all this information down.
Mm-hmm.
What are your future plans and what are you working on? Now?
Okay, I'm finally at a point where I can do some of the things that I've been wanting to do for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of responsibility, as you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
raising my children, getting my children educated, grown out and on their own. And they are old, crusty people now. So I can
I can
do some of the things that I want to do. And
research and all of that.
Right. I'm in the process of authenticating our family's Choctaw status.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm spending...
Choctaw status, Native American.
Right.
Yeah.
Carrie Hawkins.
Yeah.
Little Mama, our great-grandmother.
Yeah.
Full-blood Choctaw. Mm-hmm. Our mother's mother, James mm-hmm. Mosby,
mm-hmm.
Choctaw,
mm-hmm.
Jim Johnson,
mm-hmm.
Choctaw.
Mm-hmm.
You know all of this.
Yeah.
So, and mm-hmm. I'm in the process of pulling the documentation, going to original source documents
mm-hmm.
so that we can verify.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing this now off and on, hit and miss,
mm-hmm.
For about the last 15 years, but now that my grandchildren are coming along,
mm-hmm.
I want to leave some clear documentation for them in such a fashion that if I don't complete it or, you know,
yeah.
then whoever it is can
complete
pick it up and move forward with it. So that's one project that I'm working mm-hmm. on.
And that's great too, because earlier today, just before I came over here, was talking to our brother Chip, Robert Johnson, mm-hmm. in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
and his interest is the same thing
mm-hmm.
in terms of the Choctaw Nation
mm-hmm.
and the research that he's been doing on that level, and
exactly.
a lot of names and stuff that he gave me about fairly certain chiefs and stuff that I'll be researching
mm-hmm.
That he just gave me that I wasn't familiar with. But that's wonderful. That's good. Any closing comments?
Well, mm-hmm. other projects.
Yes.
I have two other mm-hmm. primary projects that I'm working on. I've been researching a book that I'm near completion and ready to distribute on the psychosocial status of Black families in the Mississippi Delta,
mm-hmm.
and it's a longitudinal study dating back to 1621,
mm-hmm.
and it looks at the effect of integration mm-hmm. in Black families, the plight of Black families today. Mm-hmm. It actually explains why we are as we are mm-hmm. and why we behave as we do.
Mm-hmm. Going all the way back to the slave
1621.
Period. Yeah. Right. Okay. Interesting.
And the final one is my own autobiography. Mm-hmm. In as much as I've been blessed to be a pioneer in so many areas. I've mm-hmm. actually had four careers. My mm-hmm. first career is music, mm-hmm. voice.
Miss Jones and yes. all of that. Yes.
And then second career is psychology, mm-hmm. senior staff psychologist at many major universities across the country. Pioneered the development of many programs and curriculums that are still in use today. Wanting to document all these things for my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. My children are aware because they were mm-hmm. there as we went through the process. I lost my thought.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of that project and the yes. autobiography. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. Have you got a name for it yet? What are you going to call
it? My autobiography?
Yes.
No, I really haven't named it. I don't know if it will just, it may actually just turn out to be something that I'm doing for family distribution or, yeah. you know, just for my immediate family. I'm not big on pride.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But I am big on history.
Yeah.
And that is one of the things that kind of got away from us inside our family.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy, for example, Reverend J.J. Johnson, our father, mm-hmm. Was phenomenal in terms of his business acumen. Mm-hmm. He built churches mm-hmm. and, I mean, founded and established churches.
Mm-hmm.
He owned one of the first, if not the first, Black-owned news in the Mississippi Delta.
The Friendly Mess.
Right. Yep. So, those kind of things.
Yeah. Okay. So, we're coming to the end anyway.
Yeah, because I know you got to get your... Okay, it's just 11:20.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about it. So, thank you very much here with Dr. Hattie Johnson. Excellent information. And my sister, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Right.
And don't forget to mention I'm the baby.
Yeah. In the family. But great information. I'm